An already impoverished country now under attack suffers at the hands of outside forces who have blocked it off from the outside world. Yemen and Yemeni heritage suffer while talks are set to begin soon in Geneva, with a man claiming to be president stubborn on his demand for a return to power, regardless of the cost on his people. There's a stalemate even before going in. In this edition of The Debate, we'll address the latest about the war on Yemen. Let me now introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa. She's joining us live from London, and she's a journalist and Middle East expert. And we're also joined by Mr. Jihad Murakadi, who's joining us live from Beirut, and he is a political commentator. Thank you both for joining us for this edition of The Debate. Mr. Murakadi, I'd like to start with you, if I may. You know, the Saudis have targeted schools in the past, and just today a public market was targeted in Saada city. Why are Saudis targeting civilians and civilian infrastructure?
I do not agree with the way you have put your question. I do not think that any military operation whatsoever is going to target specifically civilians just for the sake of targeting civilians. So the question is, why are they targeting civilians? They're not targeting civilians. Now, they may be targeting military targets, there could be civilian casualties, but they're not being targeted per se.
Very well. Ms. Kara Mustafa, I'd put the same question to you, and I just wanted to add this on as well. When we talk about the human suffering in Yemen, you know, the UN talks about 80% of the population needing aid. How exactly will the Saudi-led coalition ever win the hearts and minds of the Yemeni people?
Well, I'd have to say I actually agree with you. I think there is a deliberate targeting of civilians, and that is very much an indication of the desperation of the Saudi regime, because obviously we're seeing that 2 months on, and they really have barely made any advances, given the military superiority in terms of air power and everything. And yet still, the Saudi regime has not gained in any way, shape, or form, or reached any of its ambitions. So I think it's fair to say that in an act of desperation, they are clearly targeting civilians in a sort of punitive operation that is designed to weaken the Houthi and obviously make the Yemeni people war-tired. Now, of course, naturally they are, because they're suffering greatly, and we have the figures of their suffering in terms of figures, but of course in terms of destruction of infrastructure. And I think this is a sort of almost a new strategy on the side of the Saudis, which is, in order to actually force a sort of retreat of the Houthis, they're trying to target the civilians and make sure that the population suffers increasingly and therefore expresses its rejection of Houthi military advancements. But of course, this is an act of desperation on the part of the Saudis, and we can see that so far, despite all their might, they actually haven't managed or in any way achieved anything of significance.
Mr. Murakadi, I'll rephrase my first question that I put to you, Mr. Murakadi. Isn't at least the perception that civilian infrastructure is being targeted bad enough for these Saudis, in the sense that the Saudis at first claimed that they went into Yemen to begin with to help the Yemeni people, but if the Yemeni people themselves perceive that they're being targeted, isn't that a fail on the Saudi part anyhow?
I do not agree at all. The Saudis went in order to restore the preceding order which the United Nations Security Council has called for, which is the restoration of the president, the elected president. However, the Houthis, who have decided not to listen to the United Nations Security Council, not to listen to anybody, have put themselves in this situation. They wanted to take over the whole country. They attacked Aden. It's only after they attacked Aden that the Saudis moved in. Now, with regards to the United Nations, it is surprising that the international community, which includes, by the way, Russia and China, never condemned the Saudi attack, because I did not hear anybody from the Security Council regretting or changing what the Saudis have gone for. The Saudis have gone for and there was a resolution to 2216 under Chapter 7, which calls for withdrawal of the Houthis. What you ask the question, what did Saudis achieve? Well, what the Saudis achieve is that the Houthis are going now to the UN to discuss Resolution 2216, which the Saudis wanted to enforce already way back then.
Okay, Ms. Carr, Mustafa, you know, I'm a bit confused because I keep wanting to go back to the fact that, you know, the Yemen is right on the border with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia did say, and its general has been saying, Mr. Al-Asir, I believe his name is, has been saying that this has been carried out to help the Yemeni people. Now, with all the suffering, and, you know, I've just read a report today about diseases that are spreading in Yemen, such as the dengue fever and other communicable diseases as well throughout the country, which are spreading at an alarming rate. And the WHO has said the one hurdle to being able to solve that issue is access, because obviously there's a blockade on the country. How exactly will the Saudis ever win here? I'm really confused.
Well, again, I mean, this is really a clear indication of their desperation. And I think they're now targeting absolutely blindly in a very similar way that the Israelis back in August of last year were targeting civilian infrastructure and civilians essentially in Gaza. It is an act of desperation, and it's obviously a punitive operation. But I can I just add to the my co-panelist's statement, which is that whatever the Houthis have done, they have done within their country, within their territory. Houthis are Yemenis. Saudis are not Yemenis. It's not for Saudis to come in and decide who should be the president or who shouldn't be. And this is the major, and this is the major issue here, because
yes,
whatever any Yemenis would think or would argue against the Houthis, the Houthis are Yemenis. The Saudis are not. Therefore, this is a violation of national sovereignty, and this is the crux of the problem.
The regime,
it's not for Saudi Arabia to go in
Yemeni.
And bomb Yemen and murder Yemeni
of
civilians,
course it is
regardless
for Saudi
of what
Arabia.
They think of Houthis.
No. I disagree.
Go ahead, Mr. Murkada. Expand on your thoughts, sir.
May I? I fully disagree. First of all, you have Yemenis and Yemenis. The Houthis are Yemenis because it is convenient to you, and the regime that was overthrown by the Houthis is not Yemeni. How about all the people who support the regime that are not Yemenis?
I'm not denying that
the international community considers them as Yemenis. You do not consider them as Yemenis?
The Saudis are not Yemeni. I'm saying it's happening right there
on their border, for their border. For the country on their border to be taken over, okay,
it's
by
not
those
about
revolutionaries
their border, it's about the
who are not accepted by the
Yemeni
international
sovereignty.
Community, is that acceptable?
What
it is not Yemeni sovereignty.
An international
you
community that didn't lift a finger for Palestine.
Okay, Ms. Carr, Mustafa, go ahead, and Mr. Murkada, I'll get back to you. Just hold on to your thoughts.
Forget Palestine.
Can I speak now? I think bringing in an international community that has been blind to the suffering of the Yemeni civilian population, an international community that is punishing the Yemenis by actually imposing an embargo on the Houthis, yet allowing Saudi to indiscriminately bomb Yemen, is not an international community worth referring to. Now, the bottom line is, regardless of where anyone stands on the issue of Yemen, whether anyone is in support of the Houthis or the opposition, the bottom line is, it's not an affair for Saudi Arabia to come in and bomb Yemen. It is a violation of Saudi sovereignty.
Of course
now, you agree that the Houthis are Yemeni and the opposition are Yemeni, but Saudis are not Yemeni. That is the bottom line. Now, imagine, let's change the situation and just assume that the Houthis suddenly decide that the Al Saud dynasty just is not the legitimate rulers of Saudi Arabia. Would that give them a right to go in and bomb and murder and indiscriminately kill Saudi civilians and violate Saudi sovereignty? That's the question here. It would be wrong for the Houthis to do that inside Saudi Arabia. It is wrong for Saudi Arabia to do it inside Yemen.
Mr. Murkada, go ahead.
Not at all. You are talking about a legitimate government, which is Saudi Arabia, being attacked by the Houthis. You think this is normal? No, I do not think it's normal. A legitimate government in Yemen is being overthrown by the Houthis. Do you think this is normal? It's not normal. The second question that you asked, you said, what is the interest of Saudi? The Saudi are having an illegitimate foreign-supported government, not only according to them, but according to the United Nations Security Council, which passed a resolution under Chapter 7. The whole Security Council under Chapter 7 decided that there should be no arms shipment to the Houthis, no foreign intervention from the outside in support of the Houthis, and the Houthis have made a coup d'etat. Now,
if I could just come in here, I don't want to be concerned with something on the border. If both of you just allow me, Ms. Karim Mustafa, I wanted to not change the subject, but I wanted to speak and dedicate some time to this upcoming talks as well. And as we can see here, you know, this is sort of representative of what would be around the table there in Geneva as well. And the UN envoy to Yemen is saying, in fact, that the two sides aren't even willing to sit at the same table at the same time. Now, what does that mean, or what does that bode for success or lack of success for these talks?
Well, I think this makes perfect sense. Obviously, the more the war goes on, the more you'll see casualties, the more you'll see destruction, the more you'll see hostility and animosity towards coming from each side. And therefore, the more difficult any talks or brokering any forms of talks and peace negotiations becomes. It becomes very difficult when you're seeing bloodshed to actually engage in any form of discussion, and I think therefore that makes perfect sense. The more we'll see Saudi bomber jets actually explode and bomb civilian areas, destroy some of the jewels of Yemeni architecture and culture, the more you will see hatred and animosity coming from the Yemeni side, and therefore the least likely you are going to have talks and a return of peace to Yemen. So I think this makes perfect sense, and the priority at this point would be just to stop the aerial bombardment, because so far what it has achieved, it simply has achieved a lot of bloodshed, a lot of misery, and a lot of death and chaos.
Mr. Morakata, I wanted to get your opinion on the talks as well, the upcoming talks. And I wanted to hone in on specifically Hadi himself, because many people are saying that Hadi himself doesn't really want a resolution because he feels his position is threatened at this point. He feels weakened at this point, and that the Saudis might even give up on him for others who might be strengthened at this point. How do you feel about Hadi's role at this point and his unhelpful nature really going into these talks?
I think the talks are totally premature because United Nations has passed a resolution 2216 under Chapter 7 calling for the Houthis to withdraw. Now, the Houthis are coming to the table not with the intention of applying Resolution 2216 or finding ways to apply Resolution 2216. President Mansour Hadi, is going to the table with the idea that the United Nations is going to help restore legitimate power to the legitimate elected president of Yemen. Now, in both cases, both people are wrong, and the military situation on the ground does not yet call for somebody to give in. So they are both going there for the purpose of kind of going through the motions, so to speak, but none of them are convinced. Neither President Mansour Hadi is convinced that the Houthis are going to obey or apply Resolution 2216, nor the Houthis, for that matter, are prepared to abide by Resolution 2216. So the United Nations is taking it from the other way around, saying, first we stop the killing, first we take care of the humanitarian situation, then we try to see how we can reach Resolution 2216. And none of them are in agreement to that.
Mr. Morakata, I'd like to stick with you and ask
you, because the Saudis are continuing to bomb and continues with the killing.
Mr. Morakata, I'd like to stay with you and ask you, you know, if Hadi really is the legitimate president, then wouldn't and shouldn't he be worried about stopping the killing of his countrymen, those innocents, whether they're dying in targeted killings or are quote-unquote collateral damage? I mean, what kind of a president would sit in another country and be okay with his own countrymen dying?
Well, a president which is overthrown by his own countrymen and who has his own people on the ground fighting the other people, the Houthis and so on, and they are fighting in Taiz and all around and in Aden, they are fighting back against those people who are revolutionary, who do not care about the civilian casualties, because for them what is important is the overthrow of the legitimate government. So why do you take it from this side and not look at it from the other side, which is a legitimate government being overthrown and who is fighting back and to take over power that the whole world agrees with him? And you're telling me that the Houthis are humanitarian? Why? There are humanitarian casualties on both sides. That should abide by the United Nations resolution. Then we can talk about humanitarian.
Okay, Ms. Kara Mustafa, you know, our guest has mentioned the United Nations resolution a number of times. So let's be fair and let's talk about the other side. The other side says that, you know, Hadi is a legitimate president. How do you feel about that?
Well, for one thing, he ran unchallenged for the election. So, you know, who is the arbiter of his legitimacy? It feels very strange to define that. And of course, we're having the most oppressive regimes actually support his democratic election, which actually adds some irony to this tragic situation. Again, I think what we need to do in a fair and balanced way is accept that there are differences between the two sides, and there are valid arguments to be put forward by both sides. But what is completely wrong and unacceptable is to have a foreign entity, a foreign power, violate a country's national sovereignty by actually bombing and killing the civilians of one other country in a bid to restore their president, their man on the scene. Now, the adversaries of the Houthis are claiming that the Houthis are supported by a foreign government. And yet, these are the same people who are support a foreign government is actually supporting President Houthi and bombing the population of Yemen in order to restore him to power. So the irony, or the tragic irony, of this situation really is here very blatant. And what we're seeing is bad faith on both sides, but in particular on one side, because of course it's the one side that is using superior military firepower and actually achieving the devastation and the destruction of Yemen. And I think this level of destruction will take generations to actually restore and will ensure that Yemen is destined to be a failed state for many, many years to come. I think this bombing campaign has got to stop, and we need to find a peaceful resolution. And the peaceful resolution will come when Saudi planes will stop pounding Yemen.
And Mr. Markade, I want to get your opinion on that then.
Why not let
the Yemenis themselves alone talk amongst themselves and resolve the situation? Why involve the Saudis in this?
But this is precisely what has been called for by the United Nations, that the Houthis have refused. If the Houthis accept the UN resolution, Security Council resolution, they go to Geneva and you can have an agreement tomorrow. The real question is, why are the Houthis refusing to accept the United Nations resolution, Security Council? Why?
To be fair though, Mr. Morakade, and we don't have too much time, but I wanted to get this point in, that the Houthis are coming to Geneva with no preconditions, while Hadi's team is coming with a very clear precondition of accepting him, only and him, as the legitimate authority in the country.
I am sorry, it's not his condition. It is a Security Council, United Nations Security Council condition. They want him to be back in power. They want the Houthis to get out of the government offices that they have occupied, and they want to stop the
foreign armed floats. But it's not for the UN to decide. We're talking about Yemenis to decide about their fate, not the UN.
It's the Security Council to decide. I don't care. The Security Council has decided something under Chapter 7.
What? So the Security Council decides that Saudi Arabia no longer needs to be led by the Saudi dynasty. Would that be fair to you? The point is, it's not what the United Nations want. It's what the Yemenis want, and what Yemenis need to achieve amongst each other.
There has not been a coup in Saudi Arabia. There has been...
Not yet, no.
But there has been a coup against a legitimate government.
Okay, we just have about 30 seconds or so left. Ms. Kara Mustafa, I'll hand it over to you for your final word. Go ahead.
Well, as I said before, I mean, we're seeing the destruction of Yemen. We're seeing misery for the foreseeable future. And I think this is very much in the hands of the Saudis today. Now, just today, as you've mentioned before, you've had the destruction of Old Sana'a. And that really is a step further in the destruction of the region. We've seen Saudi Arabia fund and support those who've destroyed parts of Syria. And we're seeing Saudi Arabia once again involved in the destruction of the history and the cultural fabric of the Middle East. Saudi Arabia needs to stop this murderous folly for the sake of its own sake, but obviously for the sake of the wider Middle East and the Muslim region. We're seeing fellow Muslims, fellow Arabs dying by the minute, and this is very much at the hands of Saudi Arabia, and it's in their hands to stop it, and I think we need to urge them to do that and do that as soon as possible.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there at that, but of course we do appreciate both of your contributions to this edition of the debate. That was Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa, a journalist and Middle East expert who had been speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined by Mr. Jihad Morakade, political commentator, and he had been speaking to us live from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you watching as well. Until next time, good night.